This is the AC Report.
Chicken man in Philly last night, and they blew up his house too. Down on the boardwalk, they're ready for a fight. Gonna see what them racket boys can do. Now there's trouble busting in from out of state, and the DA can't get no relief. Gonna be a rumble on the promenade, and the gambling commissioner's hanging on by the skin of his teeth. Everything dies, baby, that's a fact. But maybe everything that dies someday he comes back. Put your makeup on, fix your hair up pretty, and meet me tonight in Atlantic City.
Everyone, this is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Moreno. Every week we take a look at what's happening in America's playground, in Atlantic City, in Monopoly City, one of the most interesting cities in the state, the city, in the country, quite frankly, probably the world. And I'm going to be in Atlantic City a week from Friday. I'm going down there for this terrific charity event that I go down there every year for. Happens to be hosted by our guest this morning. He's an expert in many different areas. He's a radio talk show host on WPG. You can occasionally hear him filling in on this radio station for Brian Kilmeade. Also, before he was on the radio, happens to be a former Trump casino executive. And before all that, he is somebody that I'm proud to call a friend, Harry Hurley. Harry, thanks so much for joining me on the radio.
Frank, great to be with you.
Harry, it's going great. I want to ask you about what's happening in Atlantic City, and I want to ask you about your event next Friday. But you are an astute observer of New Jersey politics, North Jersey, South Jersey. You know what's happening in Jersey. What's going on with the New Jersey governor's race? I've been hearing Jack Cittarelli be very vocal, doing a lot of radio interviews. He certainly seems to be giving Governor Phil Murphy an energetic challenge. How do you see that playing out?
I always default to New Jersey has such an overwhelming number of Democrat registrations versus Republican registrations. However, Governor Tom Kaine won twice. Christy Whitman won twice. Chris Christie won twice. It's almost like clockwork that every other election cycle, the Republican does in fact win. Not for U.S. Senate, never. Not for 50 or 60 years, but for governor. And we don't even have time to go into the idiosyncrasies of that. But I have a theory about that, that the Washington stuff is just abstract, and they don't even think of those as New Jersey representatives. They sort of look at the senators as national representatives. Here in New Jersey for governor, though, every other election cycle, and sometimes it's two terms and then the next go round it switches. So if what's been going on for 40 years continues, Cittarelli will be governor. I think there's a little bit of a difference, though. Chris Christie, very well known. If you remember, Christy Whitman gave then United States Senator Dollar Bill Bradley all he could handle, and she made a huge name for herself. She had only been the chair of the Board of Public Utilities, someone that nobody knew, but she came so close to knocking off Bill Bradley that she was then perched to do very, very well. I think the problem, and he's a dear friend, and he's a great guy, and he's electable probably in many states around the country. Jack Cittarelli, it takes, as you know, New Jersey, very densely populated, more than 9 million people, very, very hard to get that statewide name recognition. So Cittarelli is spending the entire primary election, the entire general election, just getting name recognition. However, having said that, he's got a shot. He's got a fighter shot. Who was it? Mike Tyson that said everybody has a plan until you punch them in the face.
Right.
Cittarelli has a shot. Remember now, if we poll the state, most people can't even pronounce his name. It gets butchered. So if they don't even know your name, you've got a big hurdle, you know, to get over, big hill to climb. he's got a shot. All the polls are tightening. I think it's going to be a byproduct. How's that pandemic going to be doing? Are there any new variants right before the people are going to the polls? Any new mandates that people are just completely disgusted with? You got, if you're being intellectually honest, Murphy is going to be tough to beat. But Chitterelli is, he's in the game.
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting. I think we're in the home stretch now in New York's mayoral election, New Jersey's statewide election. It's going to be interesting to see what twists and turns emerge between now and Election Day. How are things going in Atlantic City? I know even at its worst, at its nadir, Atlantic City always did very well during the summer. And then things, depending on the season, tended to wane at once fall comes around. What's going on in Atlantic City now? How are things looking economically, culturally, and what sense do you get kind of about the spirit of the city these days?
Good question. Great question, actually. What a lot of people either forget or don't know in the first place, the Atlantic City gaming jurisdiction is the third largest casino jurisdiction in the world, not in the country, in the world. Let's start there. So it's huge. Even with a few less casinos, even with the Great Recession and everything else, the pandemic, many would be shocked to hear, maybe not your audience, because you do such a great job on the other side of midnight with Frank Morano covering Atlantic City, really like unlike any other host in America. You do a great job.
Now, thank you.
Yeah, it's true. I'm not just blowing smoke. I mean, you earn that comment because you do a great job. The Atlantic City market right now, having a record summer from a revenue standpoint. Now, in fairness, in days gone by, 40 years ago, we didn't have legalized sports betting. We didn't have the internet capability to do what so many people are now doing. So the bricks and mortar are down. That's understandable because there's so many other ways to gamble besides, you know, what some call bricks and sticks or bricks and mortar. But we are having a record revenue in the history of the jurisdiction. Atlantic City has never made more money than it's making right now. And I think that would surprise a lot of people.
I think you're right. And is that wealth or that infusion of money in Atlantic City, is that trickling down to smaller businesses in Atlantic City, local restaurants, local bars, local stores? Or is that something that only the nine casino owners are getting to enjoy the benefits of?
Yeah, fortunately, the former, not the latter, because if it was, then that would be a terrible thing. A lot of it would go to the state. A lot of it would just go to the individual properties, and then there would be no residual benefit or direct benefit. Remember, a lot of people supply their wares and their supplies to the industry. They do phenomenal. We have more people. I've said this on your show before. We have more people that come to Atlantic City every year than Disney World's The Magic Kingdom. So it's huge in terms of opportunity. The local restaurants are booming, like in New York, like almost everywhere in America. We have restaurants, Frank, actually, that have to close one or two days a week because they don't have the staffing to cover, whether it be a chef or service staff or food preparation staff. I mean, iconic restaurants that you know and you've dined at that are closed 2 days a week. Atlantic City is booming right now, and the local community and the surrounding local communities are benefiting.
Well, that's certainly encouraging to hear. And if people haven't visited Atlantic City in a while, or maybe not ever, I don't think there's ever a better time to go than this time of year. You still got nice weather. You can walk the boardwalk. You can maybe even spend time on the beach, but it's not oppressively hot. And the crowds thin out a little bit so that you can go to restaurants and go to play at a casino and go to a show and not be inundated with hordes of people. Harry, I saw some interesting news this week. I'm ashamed to admit it as a New Yorker and somebody that likes sushi and seafood a great deal, but I've actually never been to the Nobu here in Manhattan, but I saw that Nobu, the Robert De Niro restaurant that specializes in sushi and everything, is opening in Caesar's Palace in Atlantic City as part of their renovation. What's going on there?
Well, that's exactly what's happening, and some people like it, some people don't like it. But it's huge. I mean, for example, Mukashi Sushi Bar that you know in Resorts Casino Hotel, where we're going to be 1 week from tomorrow, where Frank is going to be in the house. because you're a great friend and you've been a great supporter of our charity. This brings buzz, the De Niro name, politically unpopular with some, with many, with me. I think he's completely just stupid with the things he says and does. Notice he's been a lot more quiet now that my former boss, President Trump, is not in office. He was truly Trump.
Oh, he's over the top, over the top.
I mean,
over the top.
Sick. I mean, just terrible. So I think he's trying to put a lot of that behind him. And there is a lot of excitement about this.
Well, I'm looking forward to going. Do we know the timeline for this, Harry?
No, it is in the near future.
Well, that's going to be exciting. Now, before we talk about what's happening next Friday, I saw that there was this terrific event in Atlantic City at resorts where some of the first responders were honored by the CRDA, the Casino Redevelopment Association, formerly headed by the grandfather of our call screener, Molly. And, you know, in spite of his no longer being there, they're still doing some interesting things. Tell me about this event. What did the CRDA do to honor these first responders?
Well, I was there. I'm not sure if you know that, Frank. I was there for the entire event, and it was fantastic. Here's what was beautiful about it. On its face, it honored our first responders, and I have an expression, we have to remember to remember them. And a lot of people don't realize it's not just the obvious. The fire department, the police department, the paramedics were there, the EMS dispatchers were there, the local Atlantic City 911 dispatchers were there, the beach patrol there, and Atlantic City Emergency Medical System, what's called EMTS. So you had all of these entities, and a lot of people don't realize first responders really ripples in a lot of different areas. You have to tell me, though, you're a staff member. Who was her grandfather that was the head? Because I had to know him. Who?
Tom Carver.
Tom Carver. We actually had him on the radio a couple of months ago.
Oh, my God. Congratulations. What a great man. And he's been on our show many times, and I'm a huge fan. Matt Daugherty is now the executive director. Tom Carver is a legend. Let me just start there. But yesterday's event, beyond the beauty, and let me tell you something, it was amazing to see each fire person go up and so on and so forth, honored. The room was electric. But here's what it also was, Frank, and you will love this. Atlantic City has something that I get behind and my program gets behind every year. We have Atlantic City Restaurant Week. For 1 week, we roll back the clock. You can get 3-course lunches for $15.21. And in fact, the lunch that was served at Dougherty Steakhouse, where I know that the great Frank Morano has dined.
Oh, yeah.
It is absolutely fabulous. The famous, legendary Dougherty family that owns Knife and Fork and Doc's Oyster House and all these different things. Linwood Country Club, where we do our charity golf tournament. It was off the charts. So you're talking about a 3-course lunch for $15.21. 3-course prefix dinner menus for $35.21. So this was a combination first serve to our first responders and a kickoff to Atlantic City Restaurant Week, which more than 60 some restaurants are participating. And that takes place October 3rd through the 8th. And the town and the surrounding towns participate. And this thing just crushes it, Frank.
That is outstanding, and I am certainly going to try and take advantage of that. Now, let's talk about your charity event that I'm going to be in town for next Friday. I get invited to all sorts of things around New York, around New Jersey, and in Atlantic City, but the one of the few events that I make sure I'm at every year is your charity dinner. It's so wonderful because it's a tribute to two things that I take very seriously, one being talk radio, the other being Atlantic City. Explain to folks what your charity is and what the genesis of this event was, Harry.
And let me first thank you and Rachel, because you guys are always with us. We appreciate your support. And more importantly, we appreciate your friendship. I've been raising funds to help different schools. We would find that there would be schools that didn't have uniforms for one of their sports programs or a piece of equipment that would be needed. There was a school that was forfeiting 9 points at every track meet because they didn't have the proper mats to be able to hold the pole vault imagine that. I mean, in a large school, it was just crazy stuff. So we would ad hoc fundraise. About 14 years ago, I thought, I want to do more. Let's formalize this thing. Let's not just put out the clarion call once in a while and make it happen. Let's form a foundation, a charity foundation. Let's go big. And we've been able to raise over $1 million. You have contributed to it each and every year for well more than a decade. And every year we have a charity golf tournament and we have a charity dinner. Frank's been at probably 10 of the 12 that we've had, maybe more. And obviously we couldn't have it last year with the pandemic. We did get the golf tournament in miraculously. And this year we got the golf tournament in and we're going to get the dinner in, which we're really happy about. And then what we do is every year we designate charities that we write grants to, hospitals, schools, food banks, literacy programs. I mean, you go on and on. We've donated to hundreds of charities over the past 14, 15 years. And the reason we're able to do it is we raise a lot of money at these two big events that we put on. And you want me to tell your listeners a little bit about what's going to be happening a week from
tomorrow? The two latest honorees I'm going to ask you to hold off on, but because they're, I think, very familiar to this audience. If people are just tuning in, we're talking with Harry Hurley. He's a radio talk show host on WPG in Atlantic City, and he's doing his big charity event next Friday. I'm going to be down there for it. And you've honored a lot of great people at this dinner in the past, and I've been there to see Bob Grant honored, Roger Stone, Brian Kilmeade, Joe Piscopo, Todd Starnes, a number of really interesting folks, and it's always a pretty special event. This year, the primary honoree is a gentleman named Tom Cantone. Now, who's Tom Cantone?
Tom Cantone is a legend, and he might be a legend that some of your listeners have never heard of. But he has booked more entertainment. He is the man that first booked Eddie Murphy. He's the man at the Sands Casino back then. He's the man that first booked Billy Crystal. He has booked more entertainment over the past 40 years than any human being on the planet. He's written a book called Book 'Em. He will be our featured guest of honor and keynote speaker. Tom Cantone is the president of sports and entertainment for what's called MGE, that's Mohegan Gaming Entertainment, at the corporate level. He's a phenomenal individual. He's an inspiring speaker. He's just a tremendous person, and he will be our featured keynote speaker. And everyone that's in attendance, and we have hundreds that will be with us, are just going to love him. Everybody's going to get his book, and it'll be autographed and all of that. But that's a little thumbnail sketch of Tom Cantone. He's booked everyone from Sinatra. In fact, probably the only act he hasn't booked in the past 40 years, and there's an open invitation, they've had conversations, is Paul McCartney.
Wow.
You name anybody else, he's booked them.
So Tom Cantone, the president of sports and entertainment at Mohegan Gaming and Entertainment. You know, it's funny. I'm glad we're getting a copy of the book because I was just online trying to buy a copy of that book so that I could get him to sign it. And I couldn't find a copy because it sounds like a phenomenal book. And I know he's got great stories in and out of Atlantic City dealing with the Trump years and a bunch of other things. So I'm looking forward to hearing from him and getting a copy of that book.
Let me tell you one quick story. And because of the dinner, he had an opportunity to update the book. And there's some really cool things, such as 1989, I was in the house because I was blessed to be President Trump's senior hotel executive. The evening that Al Pacino and Andy Garcia, and I mean, you name them all. Of course, Carlo had to pay for Sonny, as you know. Everybody was in the house. And actually, part of the filming, the iconic helicopter scene of the boardroom of the mob dons being assassinated, that took place
in Godfather Part 3.
That is correct. In Godfather Part 3, I knew you would know, in the hotel that I ran for Mr. Trump, for President Trump. And that's in the book. You're going to love the book. And yes, it will be waiting for you, Frank, your autographed copy. We'll be waiting when you check in.
Well, terrific. Well, speaking of The Godfather, You are one of the late additions to this dinner, and my level of excitement and enthusiasm has gone from 9.5 to 12 on a scale of 1 to 10. Is Johnny Russo, who's been a regular guest on this show, who played Carlo in the movie The Godfather and has just led the most interesting life of anyone I've ever met. Johnny Russo is going to be not just at the dinner, but playing a pretty big role at this dinner.
Yes. And it's not a late edition. Full disclosure and breaking news on Frank Morano, The Other Side of Midnight. He was always coming. This is almost 2 years in the making because of the pandemic. He was always coming. We just didn't reveal it.
I see.
So Tom was always the guest of honor. And there's another great guest that I'm sure we're going to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Moment.
So
let me share something cool about Gianni Russo, though. We're going to bring him up. We have a silent auction, second to none, experiences, all kinds of amazing things. It's going to be incredible. But we're doing something we've never done before. We're going to do a live auction. I'm telling you a secret that nobody knows about yet. Gianni Russo will come up to the dais, and he will conduct a live auction. This is if you don't bid, I'm going to be so disappointed. And I know you never disappoint me. Here's what's happening. Gianni Russo, you know the home that was bequeathed to him from a legendary mobster.
Right, Frank Costello.
Correct. He's going to tell the whole story on October 1st at the Resorts Casino Hotel in Atlantic City. He has original, authentic Godfather memorabilia. We are going to limo four people. This is a silent auction for four people. We're going to limo them from wherever they are to Gianni Russo's home. Gianni is going to cook them an amazing Italian dinner, and he will regale and tell great stories and conquests about the Godfather, show them this home that once was Frank Costello's, and show them all this Godfather memorabilia, autograph his book for them, and I mean, just a once-in-a-lifetime experience that you could never get any other way than by this special invitation. How great is that going?
I am pretty excited about that. I'm looking forward to that, and you can bet that I'm going to be bidding on that. Now, if that wasn't enough, you got Tom Cantone, you got a great night in Atlantic City, supporting a lot of great South Jersey charities and charities in general. You get to see me and hang out with you and see it, just to have a great time. WABC's own Tony Orlando, who is heard every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to midnight, legendary singer from dawn, knock three times, tie a yellow ribbon. Tony Orlando is going to be at this dinner.
I know. Isn't this crazy? We are so blessed to do what we do and to have the friends that we have. I mean, think about this. Any one of these guys, you could wrap an entire amazing, successful event around. We've got all three of them, and we throw Morano in there. It's four, one of the top 100 talk show hosts in America. I mean, we're blessed, and we know it. That's the important thing. We know it, and I believe that we have an obligation in this industry, and I know you operate in the same fashion, to do everything that we can to do good and to give back, to connect in our communities, and we're going to raise many tens of thousands of dollars.
It's very exciting. Tony Orlando, Johnny Russo, Tom Cantone, all in one dinner. And even though I'm only number 94 on that top 100 talk show host list, you can also see the much higher rated Harry Hurley. Most important question, Harry, if people want to go, are there still tickets available, and how do they attend? How do they purchase tickets?
Sell out, my friend. It's over. The people who are going. It's closed out. Name cards are printed. Everything's ready to go. I wish we could, but we can't.
It's as Met fans are used to saying, wait till next year. It's all the more incentive to get in on the ground floor early. Harry, it is always a treat to talk with you. I am looking forward to seeing you next Friday.